Hello, and welcome to Business Talk. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today. Our guest is Emily Leonzik. She's the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at the Markins Group. Very happy to have you here on Business Talk, Emily.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
We've written about your company before in a magazine, and when we did, one of your founders, Ben Markins, called the Markins Group, I think the quote was, a huge business that no one knows about. So we're going to help people know more about it today. You work in what's known as association management. Tell us what that means and about the work you do for your clients.
Yeah. So most of the times, my elevator pitch is never really an elevator pitch. What do you do? Yeah. I take a deep breath to say, we are an association management company. And if you look at me cross-eyed, you're not the first one. So we manage associations and not-for-profits by providing outsourced professional services to drive membership growth, events, administration and finance, strategy. We're about one of 500 globally companies that are what we call ourselves an association management company, and we're really proud to be an accredited firm, which is we're one of about 100 or less. And we follow an ANSI standard that really guides our practices around how do we manage a nonprofit or an association's financial objectives, their record retention, board management, committee management, event best practices. So we have a whole full suite of services, a ton of specialists on our team in a variety of areas. And we have a wide range of clients from print and packaging industries to medical and professional and other local organizations like the Springfield Regional Chamber. So we're really proud of our growing team and our growing suite of clients because it allows us to hire more specialists and be able to provide a different variety of services across the needs of a variety of clients and a variety of industries.
Yeah, I think when we had written about you, we talked about organizing and staging events, strategic leadership, marketing and communications, membership services, even website design and social media. Do you bring different types of services to different companies? I'm sure it's not a one size fits all process.
No, the way that I always describe our business is we build the suit to fit the body. So oftentimes we'll have an organization coming to us and, maybe they've had one or two or maybe even three full-time staff serving their association. And the challenge is that those are just three people and you need three people to be able to deliver, 10 different functional areas. So our model allows our clients to say, okay, I need the head of someone who's going to come in and do strategy. I need an executive director, the arm of an executive director, 2 feet of marketing communication specialist, and the hand of an event planner. So our clients really look to us to be able to build the perfect team by offering just individualized services or a la carte services to fit their needs. And I think in today's landscape, more than ever, that type of flexibility to be able to say, we walk into our relationships with our clients saying, okay, this is the work plan. We're very organized in our team around key performance indicators and work plans and driving to deadlines, but being able to kind of pull back and offer the opportunity to say, okay, but what's happening? What's happening within your association and how do we need to pivot? What do we need to try differently and be able to execute that quickly because we are serving associations every day. So we know best practices. We're seeing the trends fly in. We're seeing a lot of things that work and also being able to say, oh, that did not work. let's pivot and also guide our other clients away from trying that because we've seen from our experience that that might not be the best solution.
And the numbers seem to back it up. We were somebody from your organization told us last year that associations run by an association management company have a 3 times more net growth in assets and over 30% more higher growth in net revenue. So I mean I guess the stats speak for themselves and the value that you bring to an association.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we serve associations every single day. So typically, you know, our clients are calling and they have this challenge or that challenge. And most of the time, it's not a challenge we haven't seen before. And our team is organized to try to be proactive, particularly as it affects the bottom line. And many associations come to us in the unfortunate situation. They're coming to us because financially they're suffering and they don't have a sustainable path forward. And we can we often try to plug in and say, okay, let's take a look at not only your offering. So it's really, you know, a strategic process, not only your offering, your mission, your vision, your values, what is the purpose of your organization, but then also how do we run your association like a business? How do we look at sponsorship opportunities and membership dues structures and membership engagement that, you know, attracting and retaining members is important, just like so many businesses are having that same conversation about attracting, retaining, developing their workforce.
Do you find that there's a lot of nonprofits and associations that don't run it like a business, don't think strategically in that sense, that need that that guidance?
Yeah, I think that's really, if you were to ask me what I think the Markins Group, what our secret sauce is, I really think it's those two key factors. And Ben has really organized us to be constantly focused on strategy and taking a look at a strategic approach. So I can tell you I'm facilitating strategic conversations more than 3 or 4 times a month. And that's, I think, part of our secret sauce is that all of our team is focused on strategy and the tactics to support strategy and close the gaps and meet those goals. And then the counter to our secret sauce there is our people, you know, and it kind of comes back to our model. Our people are your people. And so for us to be able to have a strong culture of learning and customer service and thoughtfulness and collaboration, it allows us to kind of supercharge that the focus on strategy and tactically getting it done, having fun while we're doing it, and staying focused on it being a great experience and you know, it being a win-win situation for all.
You're kind of speaking there a little bit about your company culture. How important is a healthy culture for your company, any company, any association? I mean, we hear talk about that these days, but what does that mean to you and why is it important?
I like to say to our team that culture is not what's written on the paper. Although we have our 18 guiding fundamentals, it's not written on paper. It's not what is written on paper. Culture is how we behave and who we are and how we show up. So I would say that it's everything, you know, especially in our business where we sell time, you know, we sell our people. And I think for many businesses, if you don't have the right culture, which is allowing folks to show up every day and serve and be their best selves and give them a sense of community and belonging and organize them around your mission, what it is, why are we here? I think it's detrimental to any business, you know, ours included, an association included. I mean, even if you talk about culture, for us, you know, walking into an association, we talk about membership, right, all the time. Membership recruitment, membership engagement. And our team talks about this a lot. If we don't create that first impression where someone's walking in the door and feeling like they belong, that's culture too, right? Having a welcoming and hospitable culture of, hey, we're growing, we want you here, you belong here. It's going to be detrimental to that association. So I think across the board, our business, any business, I think culture is key.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West. We're talking today with Emily Leonzik, the Vice President, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at the Markins Group. So I learned something new recently, which is kind of the fun thing about my job is I get to learn new things every day. I spoke recently to you with your Director of Operations, Irene Costello, for a story about different generations working together in the workplace. And she brought up an interesting trend, and that's a reluctance among younger professionals to engage with chambers of commerce and other business associations, maybe on the, at the numbers they used to. Are you seeing that? And are associations facing issues engaging the next generation of leadership and volunteers on their boards and committees?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are frantically identifying that as an issue, and kind of gone are the days of a person showing up to, let's say, a chamber of commerce because it's the right thing to do. And I would say it is the right thing to do, to invest in the betterment of an industry, a betterment of your community, but. Unfortunately, where we are today in our society is that next generation really needs to, number one, see the return on investment, what's in it for me, and number two, feel like it's a place where they belong. Can they see themselves sitting at the table? So being able to communicate that to this next generation is really important. And oftentimes that means that you have to look at the offering and maybe shift the offering. Maybe it needs to be a little bit different. Maybe it needs to be a little bit more flexible, so that the next generation can access that community, see themselves in the room, and also see the value tangibly. What's the value that they can attract, what's the value that they can extract from showing up and participating?
What I'm kind of hearing based on what you're saying is that it wasn't so much they weren't so concerned with the value and what they're getting back years ago. It was just, as you said, it was something they just did. So yeah. that shift that associations and chambers, it must be something that they've had to learn too, because those kinds of operations have been around a long time, and now it's kind of a new paradigm.
Yeah, that's the right word. Absolutely. I mean, and I think that's across the board, right? What I think most businesses are even thinking about that. You kind of spoke to, I spoke to workforce, and that is an issue across every industry I talk about. You know, who is the next generation? Who is the workforce coming in? And I think, the pandemic played a huge role in that, relative to showing up for events or showing up in the workforce. Mm. What does that look like? Our next generation are demanding something different, and it's really important that whether you're a business or an association, that you're listening to what it is that they want. And gone are the days of, well, we've always done it this way.
Exactly. You know,
10 years ago, this worked. So why isn't it working this year? We try to walk into every meeting and say, okay, historically, what have we done? What's worked? What's not worked? So we don't want to lose the historical frame of reference. That has to be a guiding light, but also it's different. So what's the information? How are we being really good listeners? I think that's one of the most important jobs for us as an association management company. We manage board of directors. And so I look to those board members who are volunteering their time to say, you have the insight, you have the expertise, you have the day-to-day working within your industry, whatever that industry might be. And so how can we set up, organize boards to be able to have and access those strategic conversations? And I would bring up this word foresight, which actually Irene Costello is leading the way for us. She just came back from a foresight workshop, which looks at what are the drivers of change that are going to impact us in 10 years. And so how can we start to shift our strategic planning, which is, strategic planning is 3 to 5 years, but how do we have a bigger global view of trends, and so that we can start to have some bigger discussions around what do people want and what are people going to want?
All that speaks to what associations need to know and to do to attract members. But what would you tell a younger professional about the value of being involved in an association or volunteering for a board?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I can speak firsthand, even before I was even in this business, of being able to have a community and connections at, you know, above me, below me, peers. It is so powerful in how it can really add value to your life. And so, you know, I think that I would say to young professionals, show up and invest. I think it's Dale Carnegie who has a quote regarding, you know, you need to show up and provide vulnerability to create the space for a friendship. And mm-hmm. I think the same is true. I would tell our young professionals, you know, you have to be a little bit vulnerable. It feels a little hard to walk into a room full of people. But what I witness now in my day to day is that we're able to connect people with common interests, like minds, and I get to watch their friendships grow, and they're like lifelong friends. You know, they're the people that you end up calling when you have a good thing happen or a bad thing happen. And so I think that that friendship and that camaraderie and that networking can be so enriching to somebody's life. And that's really at kind of a heartfelt level. But I think professionally, there's so much data around, you know, how do you grow in your professional career? It's by watching other leaders. It's by accessing mentorship. It's by making connections. So there's a matter of the heart, which I would say, you know, show up, get involved, because it's going to just make your life richer. And then there's that professional side of undoubtedly building those connections is going to supercharge your career.
Kind of shifting gears a little bit, what are some of the business trends that have challenged associations and their members? I know you had mentioned something to me about some work you've done, consulting work in the realm of technology and AI.
That is so interesting. There's not really an association that we're working with who isn't talking about or saying, you know, if AI isn't a topic that we're talking that we're discussing at this meeting, are we missing the boat? So I think everybody's feeling that the trend of making fast decisions. How do we make data-driven decisions? How do we leverage AI for our business, for increasing efficiency, for also filling in the workforce gap, right, of skilled labor. And so I think that one of the major challenges of AI is how fast it's coming and how fast it's changing. I was just at we hosted a meeting in Atlanta, and we had two industry experts take the stage and talk about design and AI. And there was a couple things that they mentioned as part of their presentation. And you know, they're the best world class. And someone raised their hand and they were like, well, that's not true anymore. You know, last week, something else came out. And so I think that is just like putting it on showcase that similar to sustainability or industry affairs, you know, you could have a full-time person just talking about AI and how do we leverage artificial intelligence in our business, in our industry, in our association. That could be a full-time job, just researching trends and changing trends. So I think that that's one of the challenges that many associations face, particularly in when an association is organized around technical training or education. You know, how are we staying at the forefront of AI and how it's impacting our industry, and how are we then educating our, you know, our members day to day?
Are there other ways that that the needs and interests of associations have evolved with other societal changes?
Yeah, I think I spoke to workforce, and I'd come back to workforce and training and the intersection between the gap in both in skilled and unskilled labor as being a social trend. And I think that we all see it on the news. There are lots of jobs. There aren't any jobs, you know,
yeah.
And how those trends impact, you know, the businesses and associations. So many businesses, particularly smaller, mid-sized businesses, are looking to associations to be able to provide training and education to kind of bridge that gap. And I think you take a look at the rate of turnover and job change. And again, we look to our next generation and what do they want? What does that workforce want? And how rapidly are they changing jobs and moving from jobs? And so how do businesses build a strong bench of trained individuals? I think they're looking to associations to be able to fill that gap and compete. I think, you know, at the end of the day, an association comes together in a pro-competitive environment. You know, all of us working together collectively improves the industry. So it's definitely impacting associations because they're coming and saying, okay, how can you help me train? How can you help me train and develop programs and curriculum to be able to combat workforce?
Before we wrap up, I just I want to note that the Markins Group has been around for about 35 years, but it was about 16 years ago that Ben and Jenny really moved into the association management realm. How has the work overall changed over the years? And going forward, how do you see your work evolving?
Yeah, well, you know, Ben and Jenny got into, fell into association management about 16 years ago. And I'm so glad that they did. When we take a look back at the first association 16 years ago that they were organized around, that organization is flourishing. What are we delivering for that association? There's many things that have stayed the same. And let's take what's tried and true and make it better. But I can tell you that the demand for education, the demand for, talking a lot about sustainability within an organization, within an industry, you know, kind of the new pillars of an association and what they're delivering is changing. So I think that there's tried and true meetings coming together, working together for the benefit of all, remains really strong in the association world. But what that looks like and tangibly, what is that offering is going to continue to adapt as our society changes and as the needs for our society changes and how much time people are willing to commit in volunteer roles for associations. I think, you know, I haven't even talked about that, you know, the succession planning within volunteer boards. That's a big question for many of our organizations and how are we going to plug in and identify that next generation of leadership? How are we going to identify them and engage them to care? So I think those are some of the challenges that lie ahead, but I also look at them as really amazing opportunities because that means that most of the boards that I'm working with today are sitting around the table and they're identifying that they're not going to be here in 10 years. So who is and how do we help? How do they help drive a sustainable future and create space for change, which can be a little scary sometimes. But I see more boards than ever opening up the conversation and being interested in getting a little uncomfortable moving past how it's always been.
And it's got to be gratifying for you personally to help them get to that next thing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, really, I work with volunteers every single day. So people showing up just to give up their time because they care about their colleagues, they care about an industry, they care about their legacy. It's really inspiring, and we are not without several mission moments on a daily basis to kind of witness witness how our volunteers are coming together, and for me to witness the same enthusiasm that my team shares. Around helping organize associations to succeed, compete, grow into the future.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for a great conversation. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing everything that the Markins Group does with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting us. We're so happy to be here and contribute, and very thankful to you.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.